First of all, good evening for all. Well, many things have been said, and what can I add more? It's really a historical event for me to come for the first time here in Los Angeles and to meet you. I don't know why I came. All what can I say is that I felt something in me that I have to leave many occupations in Tripoli, Lebanon, and you hear about all the events in the Middle East. I left all that to come and meet you. I am really a simple man, and I will try to speak with you with this poor English and my poor accent, because in my childhood, beside the Arabic language, I had the French education. In Lebanon, we have the Arabic language and French, or the Arabic language and English. Now it's better for the people to learn English, it seems, in our days. So let me first introduce myself briefly in order that you may understand me better. I will not make you a theological lecture in all these presentations. I will give you some remarks about this, about priesthood and about the person of the priest, the life of the priest, qualifications. It is here practical remarks through my experience, the experience of the church, of the great fathers of the church, and of the New Testament. I will try to be clear, to be simple, as much as possible to be true and direct. I wish to have a dialogue with you. It's an occasion for me to work with you, to work together. That's why I prefer that not only have questions and answers, but also to work together. I don't know if Sayyidina will permit to have some workshops about the many things, subjects of this theme of the priesthood, many sides of the life, of your life. I suggest, for example, to have something relating to the life of the priest, to his family life, to his relation with the parish, parishioners, his relation with the bishops, his relation with the politics, for example, all what can affront the priest during his mission, and also his personal life, his prayers. It is possible that you will hear from me things that seem too much theoretical for a priest's life. But really, with my intention, I will speak for the aim to pray for the priest in the church to be not only a servant of Christ in the world, but also not only a human person, but also a divine person who has in his heart the Holy Spirit, and having the aim of communicating the Spirit of God to others. Because we have heard that our fathers have followed this divine path of salvation, as His Grace Joseph said about purification. How can a person, essentially the priest, can purify himself in order to have a better service to others, how he can acquire these divine virtues. It's a hard thing, I understand, for a priest nowadays who is living in this world, how we can persevere in this way, and take care, pay attention to himself, as St. Paul says in many places, and in the same time to serve the others, to communicate this internal faith, this internal flame to others. Yes, maybe I can hear from you some suggestions of the subjects which you prefer to abhor in the seminar. I will give you a first presentation, I think, after the dinner, which will resume these remarks about the priesthood and the life of the priest. But afterwards, I think it's better to have some work together for all the sides of the life of the priest. I don't know if I can, Selina, open the dialogue now and have some suggestion.
You can.
If someone has something to say about the important, I want to take a profit of your experience. It's really an occasion for that. What are the difficulties you are having in your work, in your parish, in your family, in your personal life? Yes, please.
Your Eminence, I'm Father Andrew. In hearing confessions, I have empathy for the parishioner that comes. I often don't have good penance. I don't have creative, thoughtful direction to give them other than the fact to rejoice in the fact that they come to confession and let down this burden and absolve them of the burden, and then to be creative in some sort of a proactive activity through prayer and fasting and the various disciplines of the church to create strength in this person that they might not fall into that habitual sin. Is there I'm sure there probably is some prescribed way of developing a proactive discipline in a repentant person's heart. I was wondering if you could delineate that to a point.
Yes, the subject of confession is very important, and I think it's worth to abort this theme, maybe with a group of you who prefer to think about this. All the mystery of confession and of repentance, very important. I will speak briefly about this, but I can tell you from now that it's important, especially in our time. You know how the man in all the world is becoming living alone. He has many problems, psychological problems, and he needs to speak with someone in whom he trusts. And really, it's a very, how do we say, very consolating thing for the priest to have this contact with others, because through confession, if he is trained for that, he will have the occasion to enter deeply in the inner part of man, which is in our times something very important, even in science, as you know, I think. But we have the experience of our fathers And I think it's worth to abort this problem. This is one subject of your seminar, I think. Another one, maybe.
Sayedna, thank you for coming to us. I actually have two that I asked to put on the list. First, I was intrigued by Sayedna Joseph's discussion about Patriarch Elias's remarks, in America they're missing monasteries. Could you tell us what we are missing when we don't have monasteries in our midst? Share, you know, give us the fullness of everything that a monastery can do to benefit the parish life, number one, and how we participate in that more fully. And secondly, the second topic is the priest at prayer in front of the Holy Table. How do I move beyond the liturgics to get to that place where I'm with God totally and nothing else is around me? Can you give us some insight from your experience and from your own personal practice how to serve and to be with God for our people and for ourselves?
I think I will have an occasion, a presentation about the life, the personal life of the priest and his prayers. Because I think it's also an important subject. And at the same time, it's interesting to have the subject also in a group, in a workshop. As for monasticism, I can tell you something which is interesting about some spiritual fathers who I met especially in Mount Athos. And through their writings, they say that in our times, there is no more these old deserts which were in many places because this new modern life is is occupying all places in the world, but they say that really the present world is becoming a desert for man. That's why they say that we need in our times monks in the world. This is a great thing. It's not really simple, but if someone in this world is living the gospel, he is a monk also, and he is also sanctified. It doesn't mean that we don't need monasteries, because as we learned of our fathers and as the Bishop Joseph said truly, that the church is based is based on two pillars, the parish and the monastery. They are completing each other. This is the general rule. We will speak about that, and if it's possible, you can discuss about that in groups also.
My name is Nishan Swice. I'm from San Francisco. In these days, most of the priests, they're trying to please the people. They're trying to encourage them to come to church. Most of the people are getting away from church, and when they come to church, they think they're coming to a picnic. And they come dressed many different ways. And that's the distract to some people who attend the church, and the priest doesn't have the power to enforce some of the things in the church, or not just the power, it's just like don't want to hurt their feeling, and they want them to come to church. If you talk to them, they run away from church. What in your mind, or you can advise the priest in the different ways how to address these ways for the people to come to church, to encourage them to what to do in church. Sometimes they don't want to spend more than an hour in church. If they come to church for an hour and a half, they think we're giving too much time for the church. How we can solve these things in the church.
I can tell you something. When I was elected metropolitan, and I was consecrated in Damascus, after all the ceremony, I had to go to the patriarch and have his blessing before leaving to Lebanon. He told me something. He told me, I give you a counsel, a final counsel for your service. In our days, he said to me, in our days, we have not to search to expect that the people comes to us, to the church. We have to go after them. The church must go now to the people, not to expect the people to come to us. This is what he said to me. Now, what I can say for this, also with my small experience in Tripoli now for 1 year and 9 months, and you see, you know that this town, this is the second town of Lebanon, and it's in majority, the town, Muslim. It's a Muslim city, and the Christians are a minority there. My feeling is that the people, even the Orthodox people which are in Kura, which is in the Orthodox region of Lebanon, they are taken up, as you said, by the worldly occupations and pleasures, but they have, Bishop Joseph said, they are hungry for spirituality. And I think the world today is hungry for spirituality, for the good spirituality. That's why we have to experience this ourselves. And if we can have this small experience, we can communicate this, because they are the people, and I can say even the Muslims people, they are sensitive to this spirituality, the inner life of man, because man today is taken by outside things, to materialistic things. That's why something is missing, and this is the life of the heart of man, which gives him the real life.
Sayyidina Father Timothy of Van Nuys here in California, welcome back to the United States. And I especially want to thank you for your remarks when you spoke to us at the symposium. My question has to do with this whole matter of a need for monastic communities. Related to that is the question of knowing if you are celibate, or how to provide guidance for those that are inclined to celibacy. There's great confusion here in America about sexuality and about identifying oneself with being married or not to be married. And there's this word being single. And there's no understanding of celibacy. There's never been, to my knowledge, being a priest.
Celibacy, what?
Celibacy.
Yes.
There's never been clear teaching for us in America about celibacy.
Celibacy.
There is teaching about marriage. We are encouraged to assist with couples preparing for marriage. And there is never really enough to provide adequate teaching about marriage. Before marriage, we have to continue after marriage in helping our parishioners. But concerning celibacy, I've not known in the 29 years I've been a priest clear explanations or teaching about how one is inclined to be celibate. I hear about many from like you who in the Middle East were taken to the monastery from an early age, very young. This is a new thing in our thinking, that a young child would go to be dedicated. We've heard of what it means to be dedicated in the nidr, the offering of children. So I would appreciate, Sayyidina, if you could, in the course of your presentation, help us better understand the balance. Because sometimes there is this tension that comes in our mind, celibacy versus married life. There should be no tension. One is either called to be celibate, one is called to be married. But here in America, there's this word being single, that some people think they can live a life of being single and live in a free way that does not have any spiritual root and base. You understand what I'm saying? We need guidance on this.
to speak about this thing. Yes, Father.
If you want to answer.
Sayyidina, I welcome you to this land with all my heart, coming from the Middle East, where I lived, where I was born and lived, and come here to find a very different atmosphere of believers. Unfortunately, in America, the Orthodox Church have inherited ignorance in orthodoxy. Our people who come from the Middle East, I'm not talking about the converts, ignore so much about our faith, because children were born, baptized, they come to Sunday schools irregularly, and their knowledge about orthodoxy is still in the primary stage. They haven't gone to a middle school or secondary school or college in the knowledge, except for very few people. What I am telling you here is that because of this ignorance, I call on my parishioners, you Orthodox people must convert to Orthodoxy first, because we can see the difference between the cradle Orthodox and the converts. There is a great difference in approaching the church and accepting its teachings. In a way, our people are very much attached to Orthodoxy. They defend it, they are proud of it, but they know nothing. When we try to teach them about it, they don't like it, because they want to remain as they knew Orthodoxy to be, to them. That is to say, for instance, they like to come, they like to attend, they like to receive communion, they don't like to confess. You are a man like us. Why should we confess to you, despite our explanation to them? They like us to stand at the end of the church and say a prayer, Lord, forgive all those who come to receive communion with an intent to repent to you directly. Not to us. We face much difficulty among the Arabs. When we call them to Bible classes, they don't have time. When they come to church, definitely, like the Turkish army, this is an expression we use, and they don't come on time. Some people come from the very beginning, very, very few. Some come after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. Some even come, do not attend the gospel reading. And some people come when the priest say, let us go forth in peace. We need, my appeal to the hierarchs of our church is, let us study something that appeals to the Orthodox people in America. That's to say, less time, more preaching. Less time to spend in church for liturgics and give them more time in preaching. They are very thirsty to know much about our Orthodoxy. I used to preach in Syracuse, New York, and people used to sit in the back and give me signs. It's too much, yani, 10 minutes, you've reached your 10 minutes. Many thanks to God, here in San Diego, I preach almost for half an hour, and I apologize that I took their time. No, continue. This is what we like. We don't like repetition in the church, again and again, again and again. This becomes like a routine in their lives. It doesn't create spirituality in them. I thank God that we have a bishop who is very spiritual. Very, very spiritual. I like that in him. People cannot see at all the time the spirituality in the bishop. They are distracted in many things when the bishop comes into the church. I said this between me and him, and I think he will do something for that. But my main, I am focusing, Sayyidina, on our hierarchs to study, to lessen the period of the liturgy. The Melkites try to do something. We don't want to imitate them. We want to do something else and to allow more explanation in the church, because people do not come during the week. Even in feasts during the week, the weekdays, they don't come to church. If we have to have the liturgy in the morning, we rarely have 5 persons in the church besides the priests. The priest and his wife, the chanter and his wife, and the acolyte and his wife sometimes, if he has a wife. You see, they don't come. When we do it in the evening, with much begging, we had last time 30, 35 persons, and I was very happy to have them attend the liturgy at night. Our people need more explanation. The converts know much about Orthodoxy. They enjoy it. They come. They are mingled into it. They love it. And when you love something, you like to do it. And you don't find it long. I think I have given you something about what we experience in our parishes, and I hope Your Eminence, as a member of the Holy Synod, to take this matter with you to the Synod and discuss it. Once upon a time when I was in Beirut, I said something to Archbishop George Khadr. He accepted that. He discussed it with the Synod, and we were very happy that the Patriarch sent a letter to all the bishops telling their priests to do some changes. For instance, like the pre-sanctified liturgy, which used to be before noon, and to move it to the evening. I said to Archbishop Khadr, I am a priest, a humble priest. When I stand before God, I like to be true when I talk to God. I cannot tell God, I have come to sunset when the sun is above me, in noontime. And I have seen an evening light when I did not see it. Why am I doing this in my liturgy? Why don't I say, وَسَنَنْظُرُ نُورَ مَسَيِّرِ إِذْ سَنَبْلُغُ إِلَى غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. What I said in Arabic is, we shall come to sunset and shall see the evening light. We want to put life in our liturgics and truthfulness. Why should I pray for in Psalm 50 that the walls of Jerusalem may be built when they are already built? What kind of a prayer am I saying? Within myself, I pray that the walls of our families may be built strong. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, about confession, we'll speak about this. And about orthodoxy, I think if it's in the West or the East, I think the important problem, important thing is to know more about the tradition of our church. When someone knows the roots of his faith, beginning from Christ, the incarnation of Christ, and afterwards how the apostles and how the great fathers of the church lived with the Holy, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then we are united in the West and the East and all the world. This is what we have. This is our Anangi. Need today, if it's in the West or in the East, and to live this tradition, when the living tradition. At that time, we can pray really opus, like you said, truly before God. We have to be true in ourselves first. This world is a false world. We have to live the true world, to be sincere. This is the main virtue of our time, a difficult one.
So we take one more suggestion and we
Your blessings, Master, priest at Brenn. My question is on power and authority and obedience in the church, especially from the viewpoint of the priest and the deacon, because we all stand and are called father. So we become the target for so much attention. And then as a power, within that, being fallen sinners, and I mean that quite sincerely, as an unworthy person, how do you give word, use charisma, use attract people to Christ without putting yourself there? How do you avoid your own power, your own ideas, and only Christ because of the dynamic where we're called to lead, and how do we keep that from becoming unhealthy? Thank you.
Yes, this subject also is important, the authority and obedience. This is a very precise subject. It needs to be clear, and we'll try to have this subject in our seminar, and maybe in a group also. The workshop.
And I want to ask about how to interact with the bishop. I'm Father Justin from Salt Lake City. About interacting with the bishop. Perhaps this is personal, bishop to bishop, but I think all of us want to have a close relationship with the bishop. Maybe as Americans, don't understand what that looks like all the time. Maybe we wonder if the bishop likes us, doesn't like us. Does he? And we worry about worldly things because we want to be obedient. We want to share his vision of the church. Maybe we talk to him a lot. Maybe we don't talk to him unless he comes. And maybe it depends on our personalities. Maybe hearing from yourself and from Saint Joseph, how we can come closer to the bishop, how we can see his vision and share it, and also how we can disagree in love or ask questions or really have a fatherly into some relationship with an openness without being afraid or intimidated or anything else like this.
Thank you. No more suggestions.
Well, we'll have, I think, a discussion, talk about the relation with between the priest and the priest and the bishop, and the priest and another priest.